Our epistle lesson this morning will also serve as our sermon text from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test everything. Hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Betty, the soldier writes, who has been separated by his loved one for 3 long weeks. I suppose you haven't got married on the sly, have you? Because I shall be annoyed if you do, and don't let me know. Many a couple have been separated by sudden deployment in war. True for this couple. They had a whirlwind romance, 3 weeks of all of this love, and then suddenly he was deployed, and then he didn't hear from her. He's waiting for a letter. He writes to her, "You haven't found someone else, have you?" This is what it was like with Paul and Silas and their relationship with the believers in a city called Thessalonica. It had been a whirlwind romance. Paul on his missionary journey, going from city to city, and he came there and shared the word of God 3 weeks in a row. And they believed. So many believed. They started this wonderful relationship together. They couldn't get enough of God's word and God's message. And then, war. A mob came. They came to the house where Paul and Silas and all the believers were meeting. And they found the owner of the house, Jason, and they drug him out of the house. Paul and Silas were nowhere to be found. The believers caught them and spirited them out of the city. They ran for their lives. And then they were separated. And Paul and Silas wondered, as the days and the weeks stretched on, are they going to forget us? Was it real? Will they hold on to what we had despite this war, despite this persecution? They say in their letter, "We were separated from you like orphans for a short time in person, but not in our heart. It was with great desire that we made every effort to see you again in person. We wanted to come to you." I, Paul, wanted this not just once but twice. But Satan hindered us. Satan's war against Jesus, against his people, his battle plans kept Paul and Silas and these new baby believers apart. Would they survive it? Would their relationship survive? They write in their letter, Paul and Silas, that when they could take it no longer, they couldn't take it anymore, they actually sent one of their coworkers back named Timothy. "Timothy, go to Thessalonica, go check up on them." And they waited for Timothy to go and come back and bring a report. How was it going? And when the report came, Paul said this, "Now we really live. Because we have heard that you are standing firm in the Lord. Indeed, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have before God on account of you?" The Thessalonians hadn't left them. The report that came was such a good one. Timothy came back and he said, wow, everybody's talking about these churches in Thessalonica, talking about how difficult they have it, how much persecution is there, and how they won't stop showing their love for Jesus and other believers, how they are holding on to your words, Paul and Silas, because they know that it wasn't just the words of men, the words of traveling preachers, some sweet talk that you gave and then you abandoned them. No, they held on to it as it really was, the Word of God. And this report, oh, like a sweetheart separated by war, boosted Paul's morale. Oh, I've come back to life. Today, I get to give this kind of report to Jesus. We're in a similar situation, not exactly the same as the Thessalonians, but in a way, Jesus can say to us what Paul said to that congregation, I'm separated from you in person, but not in heart. That is, Jesus is separated from us visibly, but not in heart. He's still with us. He still longs for us. He's left words behind. And his letter to the Thessalonians comes to us today kind of like a check-in. Are you holding on to what we have? Is your faith still strong even though we have been visibly separated for so long? And it comes as an encouragement, a morale-boosting letter in the middle of this war. Because you're at war too. Just like the Thessalonians were. Oh, sure, Satan's schemes here for you right now might not look exactly the same as for them, this physical, difficult persecution, but the devil is working hard on you. He's got his battle plans drawn up. He wants to separate you from Jesus. He wants you to let go of his words as if they were just the words of men and not the words of God. So what report do I get to bring to Jesus, like a Timothy sent today? Well, I bring a report that gives me life as your pastor. What do I get to report about you? That you have received the words of normal people like me, normal pastors who come and go throughout the years, normal teachers who are just human, words on a page from an ancient book. I get to report to Jesus that you have received these words as they really are, as the Word of God, that you are holding on to those words. Incredible. In a world that really doesn't want to hear these words, in a world where you can Google whatever religion you want and read so many different options, you have heard these words, just these words, as the words of God. You have heard His voice, and God has created faith in your heart. That's the report. Jesus, they believe this stuff. I sit in my office week after week opening my Bible and I often think, are they even going to care about this? Are they going to say, this is boring? Are they going to say, we've heard this before? And then I show up here on Sunday and you're here. Despite all the difficulties that the devil has thrown in your way, you're here to hear it again, to hold on to it. Just like a soldier at war receiving a letter from a loved one, you hold on to it and say, yes, he's still speaking to me. He still loves me. You're holding on. That gives me life. And it means I can share with you what Paul shared in his letter, an encouraging postscript, a morale-boosting finish for you, as you continue to fight this war against the devil and his schemes, fight for the faith. I could say what Paul wrote. It's kind of similar to a letter that a British woman named Emily Chittix wrote to her fiancé during World War I. She said, "I know it's God's will that we're going to be together again. P.S. Cheer up, darling. Don't worry about me. There's good news in the papers. Love from Mom and Dad." Morale-boosting encouragement. Cheer up. Hold on. Don't worry. Except Paul gives us words that are even better. What does he say? "As you fight this fight, as Jesus is separated from you visibly for a little while longer," he says this, "rejoice always." A little bit stronger than "cheer up, darling." This isn't about cheer. This isn't about emotion. This isn't just keep smiling, just stay happy. No, this is joy. Rejoice always. Joy. Not an emotion, but a state of being that you know and believe and trust that God is good and God is in control and that he loves you because of what Jesus has done. Joy. This is an ocean of calm beneath the surface storm of life. This is joy when the bullets are flying overhead because you know that your Savior is with you. Rejoice always, Paul says. And what's something that reminds you of this joy, that in a sense taps you into this joy? He continues, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. No, not necessarily that you are praying in a row 24/7. I don't recommend folding your hands and closing your eyes while you're driving. Jesus, take the wheel. No, but it's pray constantly. Pray all the time. The average American checks his phone 144 times a day. What if I checked in with God that many times a day? This is like a soldier checking in with the battle plans. The battlefield's always changing. The enemy is always trying something new. And when that happens, we need to check back in with our general. What's the plan? And when we do, what happens? Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When you pray, what are you doing? You're coming to God and you're asking him to show you his battle plan, to reveal his will. And when he does that through the words of the Bible, it leads you to give thanks because he has good plans. "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." What does this look like? Well, when something good happens, when you have a beautiful Christmas dinner and you pray to God and you say thank you, God reveals to you his plan. In the words of the Bible, he says, "Of course I'll take care of you. Don't you know that I take care of the little sparrows and I care so much more for you? Enjoy." And when things are going poorly, when life is difficult, you check in with your God and you say, "Help, help me, help my loved one, we're in trouble." And God reveals to you his plan. He says, "I am with you." He says, "I work all things for the good of those who love me." This is all part of the plan. And we give thanks that we have such a good God, such a good general, carrying out his plans in our lives. How do we know these plans? Well, Paul says next, "Do not extinguish the Spirit." The Spirit reveals it to us. And how? Paul puts these together. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Through the Word of God, prophecies. The Spirit is like fire. Don't extinguish the Spirit, he says. And it's not because the Spirit gives you this warm, fuzzy feeling in your belly. It's not like he's putting these emotions there so that you know what he's telling you. No, the Holy Spirit is like fire because he is powerful enough to kindle faith and keep it burning in your heart. Don't extinguish that, Paul says. How do you snuff out a fire? Well, you either stop feeding it or you smother it with something else. Keep feeding that fire is what Paul is saying. with those prophecies, with the Word of God. It's like adding logs to the fire of the Holy Spirit to keep your faith burning. Don't extinguish that fire. Don't cover up God's Word with all sorts of distractions or by setting aside certain parts of it that you don't like to hear. No, don't extinguish the Spirit. Instead, feed that flame. He says, test everything. Hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Test everything. It's like you're feeding the fire and you're testing the logs. This one is dripping wet, soaking, and this one is nice and dry. Which one are you going to put on the fire? Test everything. This is like wartime letters that get sent and people go across them with a marker to see if there's any invisible ink, secret messages that will give information to the enemy. Test everything, because there are a lot of messages flying around in the world. A lot of words, a lot of people talking, and not all the words are good. A lot of the words out there are trying to separate you from God. They're the battle plans of the enemy. When you hear things that don't quite sound right, because the Holy Spirit has taught you through the Bible, test it. When you hear things like, oh, every denomination is the same, all roads lead to heaven, love is love, that thing's not a sin, and you think, is that right? I'm not sure. Don't let it go. Test it. With the prophecies God has given you, with God's Word, check your Bible. Check it with a fellow Christian. Ask your pastor. Test everything so that you're following God's battle plans for you, not the devil's. Teach your children to do this. When you know things are floating around, bad ideas, ideas that will harm people, separate them from Jesus, terrible rumors about their relationship with Him, test it. Teach them how to test things with the Bible. Raise them this way to test everything. Why? Because you want them to hold on to the good. Hold on to the good, Paul says, and keep away from every kind of evil. Hold on to the good that God shows you in His Word, like it is that letter from the loved one, from the front lines or from home. Hold on to that. That's a lot, isn't it? In one little postscript in the letter, rejoice always, pray continually, test everything. Wow. Yeah, it is a lot, because this is war and this is love. It's like a long distance relationship. You have to fight for this. But if that worries you, remember who's doing the fighting. That's what Paul says at the end of his letter. When we look at this, honestly, we confess our unfaithfulness in our relationship to Jesus. Rejoice always. Have I done that? Rejoiced always in Jesus. Pray continually. We could all pray more. Test everything. How many bad things have I let slide? Hold on to the good. My hold on Jesus and His Word sometimes is pretty loose. But who's doing the fighting? Who's doing the writing? Paul says, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. And one of the tragic letters I read from war is that previous one where that loved one had said, I know it's God's will for us to be together, cheer up. She didn't know that when she sent that letter, her fiancé had already been killed in battle. Humans can't carry out our will very well. We break promises. Loved ones say, I'll wait for you, and then they don't. Loved ones say, I'll come back for you, and then they can't. But when God says this, He can do it. The God of peace can keep you in his joy, can keep everything as it should be in your life. Even when the bullets of the devil are flying overhead, you are at peace because you are at peace with God through what Jesus has done for you. And he will keep you safe. All of you. What does Paul say? Body, soul, and spirit. That's all of you. Until Jesus comes back, you will be there for him, and he will be there for you. The one who called you, the one you hear in his words and his letter written to you, he is faithful, and he will do it. Hold on to that letter. Hold on to his promise. Like in the war, sometimes sweethearts would send a picture with the letter and then put lipstick on the letter and spray some perfume so that you could use all of your senses in holding on to that love. This is what Jesus does for you today in sights, in smells, in food and drink, in words lovingly written. Jesus enables you to hold on to this love, to rejoice always because you know who he is and what he will do. And so we can do what he asks us to do today. Rejoice, and not just today. Rejoice always, every day, and even more when Jesus returns in victory. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.